When I walked into church this morning, all I saw was you, Beth. And I said, me and Beth are going to be able to share a story. But praise God that we have all the other children that came. You know, a lot of people say to me all the time, the grown-ups say to me, where do you get these stories? Where do you come up with this stuff? Well, I know where they come from. They come to me from God through me. And this past week, I was listening to a CD that I just bought, some music in my car. And one of the songs that's on there is called Angels Among Us. And that's the title of my story, because after I heard the song, I remembered it from long ago. And something clicked inside of my brain and said, you got to do a children's story. So I called Pastor Pete up and I said, you know, I do have a children's story whenever. And I didn't know it was going to be this Sunday, but he wrote back to me, said, go with it. So I said, good. But the words to the song, the chorus of the song, is, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from God, from heaven up above. They come to you and to me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and to guide us from the light of love, by the light of love. Now, that song really means a lot to me, and I'm going to tell you why. How many people here have seen pictures of angels? Have you seen pictures of an angel? Have you seen pictures of angels? Angels are always, you see in the Bible, if you have a Bible that has pictures in it, or other places, angels always come down from heaven, of course, and they have, usually in their bare feet, and they have long white robe, and the angel Gabriel had a trumpet, you know, because the reason for that is that angels come for one reason. They're messengers. That's what an angel really is for, is it bringing you messages from God. And if you think about it, think about all the different stories in the Bible that you learn in Sunday school about the message coming about Jesus' birth and the message coming to Joseph to get out of that place so they could flee to Egypt and so they wouldn't get killed, and all kinds of stories like this in the Bible about angels that are messengers. Well, I've seen two angels in my lifetime. Two that I know of. I think I've probably seen a lot more. I think you probably even seen an angel in your lifetime and just haven't noticed it. The first one was when I was about 13 years old, 12 or 13, give or take. And I had to go to the hospital, and it was the first time I ever had to go to the hospital. And they were going to do an operation, an appendectomy. That means they take your appendix out that's down here, because I had lots of stomach aches. And they couldn't put me in a grown-up ward because I was too young. And they couldn't put me, they put me in a children's ward, but I was really too old and I was too big. You know how awkward you feel when you're just the biggest person around? Well, I feel that all the time, but besides that. But when I had to go to sleep early because the children's ward shut down early. There was really no TVs back in that days to sit down and watch a TV show. And all of a sudden, I'm in this big room with a lot of sick children. And some of them were coughing, and they just didn't look good, and they were scary looking. Some of the kids had tubes in them and everything. And I was scared, really scared. I said, if this is what happened to you when you go for an operation, what's going to happen to me? I bet you do. I saw a Band-Aid on your arm. Mm-hmm. Did they take some blood?
Lots of blood.
Oh, okay.
6 months.
Wow. That's scary. It's scary, especially for little ones. So anyway, here I am in this children's ward, and I'm looking at all these sick people, and I'm scared. I'm really scared. And I'm sitting at this table that I'm about three sizes too big for. And the chair, you know, the chairs are real small. And I actually had tears coming out of my eyes. That's how scared I was. I was almost crying, you know. And I put my head down and I put my hands together and I started praying to God. Because my mom wasn't there. She worked and she was gone. And my grandmother, who I lived with, she couldn't travel around, so she was with my sisters. So here I'm in this hospital, no visitors, nobody that I know, scared, lonely, everything you can imagine was bad. And I'm praying, and I said, dear Lord, please, I'm so scared. And I didn't even know what to ask for. I didn't know to ask for my parents to come. I didn't know what to say even. But I knew I needed to pray and ask for God's help. And as I had my hands crossed like this, another hand touched over top of me, over both of my hands, and they were big hands, and just put it right over top of my praying hands. And I looked up, and it was a very tall man standing there. And I looked, and I saw right away he had a collar on. He was a priest. in a Catholic church. Well, when I was a little boy, my grandmother was Catholic, and we referred to the priest in the Catholic church, his father. And I looked up, and I said, he looked at me, and I said, "Father, I was just saying a prayer." He said, "I know, son." And I looked at him, and I said, "But you don't understand. I was praying because I'm really scared." He said, "I know that too." And he says, I said, and he looked at me, and he said to me, I don't know the exact words now because it's just, you know, very emotional at the time. And he said, "Everything's going to be fine." He said, "I know this, son." And he said, and he started to pray with me. And that person, who I've never seen again in my life, had the calmest voice, the prettiest voice, a man's voice that I've ever heard in my whole life and ever since. And I look back now and I say, that was an angel. That was a messenger from God answering my prayer because God knew how scared I was and knew what I needed and sent this man to talk to me. Well, needless to say, the operation went off with no problem at all. I had a scar. When I came out, I was doing fine, and I went home to my parents. Well, the second angel I saw, believe it or not, was in a hospital again. I don't know. Maybe a lot of angels hang out in hospitals. I can't tell you, but I was in a hospital. I'm a grown man, and I'm about to go for an operation, and I was going to get a kidney transplant. And I was not scared because in the church before, I was anointed. And I think we talked about anointing once before. Pastor Pete had talked about it. But that's where you get blessed with oil and people pray with you, the people in the church. And when I left that prayer, I knew everything was going to be fine. I knew it in my heart. I just knew God was going to help me and take care of me. So I'm in the operation or in the room waiting for the operation the next day. And this doctor comes in, big title. He's an anesthesiologist. Basically, it means he's going to put you to sleep. And he's going to take care of you while you're sleeping, while they operate on you, so you don't wake up. You know, you don't want to wake up when they're operating. That's not cool. But anyway, he said to me, "Tomorrow I got to come in and I got to put a tube here in your chest." Okay? And I said, "Oh, well, okay. I've been through that once before. It was really painful, but I'm going to be asleep when you do this, right?" He says, "No, you got to be awake for this." And I said, "I got to be awake. I remember the tremendous pain in that. It wasn't fun. I don't like it. You know, I didn't like it." And I told him, and even though I knew the operation was going to be fine, I didn't want this pain. And I started praying. And I asked God, I said, "God, please, I don't want to go through this again. I don't want this pain anymore like I had. I just don't want it." So this anesthesiologist was like, you know, like, "Don't be a baby. It's not a big deal." Well, you know, it was to me. So the next day, they wheel me down to the operating room, and I'm laying outside of the operating room, and I'm still awake because they hadn't put me asleep yet. And all of a sudden, this lady comes up to me with a beautiful doctor's outfit on, all white. And she had blonde hair. And she walks up next to my bed and she says to me, "I'm going to be the doctor that puts you to sleep." And I said, "Wait a minute, you're not the anesthesiologist." She says, "I know." And I said, "But he said I'd have to get this thing put in my shoulder, and I really didn't want to do that." She said, "I know that too." And I said, "But he said I have to have it." And she says, "Don't worry." She said, "I'll take care of everything." And I said, "But he told," she says, "Please, trust me." And needless to say, I did not have that put in my shoulder. And I never saw that anesthesiologist again. As a matter of fact, when you come out of surgery, usually in recovery room, you do see the anesthesiologist. But she wasn't there. She was there for that one purpose in my mind, I know, that God had sent her. And you know, I firmly believe in my heart that we can all be angels as well as angels come to us. And it usually involves God sending a message through you to other people, maybe even a children's story. But the biggest thing about it is usually angels wind up disappearing somehow. They come to you and they do their job and then they disappear because they don't want credit. They really don't want to be known other than just to you personally. So maybe the angel you see, you'll think back and you'll remember. But God keeps in touch with us like that. He's around us everywhere. It's not just that he's in heaven someplace and we only see him when we die or whatever. He's here every day with you. And I want you to remember that, okay? And thank you for coming up.